Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Friday, and believe it or not, Dan and I have both been here all 5 days. Of course, this is Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Like I said, that's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Of course, you know, the blog goes up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so look for a new one of those tomorrow morning. Yay! Of course, there's various content added throughout the week, so make sure you get over there, check that out, see what's going on. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I'm at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
Oh, all right, Dan, I have ran into so much stupidity in the sporting world today. You tell me where you want to start, and I'll explain it to you.
The NFL?
Okay. Well, you know, the NFL, at least we get to start locally with the NFL, because I'm actually... Maybe you can help me out here, Dan, because I'm kind of looking at this from two sides. Either the Chicago Bears have now taken over the slot of the stupidest team in the NFL because they gave up 3 draft picks to move up one spot, you know, from number the third pick to the second pick. And as it turns out, Dan, they were bidding against nobody else. They didn't have to move up to get this guy. So now maybe I'm trying to think, maybe the Bears weren't stupid and it was John Lynch and the new 49ers front office that just outsmarted them?
Yeah, I guess. I don't even know what to say anymore.
You know, because, I mean, obviously you look at this, what I got the biggest kick out of is after they made the pick, and, you know, the first round was going on and I was getting ready to, you know, go to bed because obviously I have that wonderful, you know, 2:30 wake-up call for my job, because Dan still hasn't gotten us paid for doing this, but that's another story. Oh, I was listening to one of the local radio stations. It was actually WGN, and they were defending pick over and over. I mean, it was just ridiculous, and it got to the point where one of the guys, and I wish I'd have known their names, but I was tired and just wanted to go to sleep, actually said that Mitchell Trubisky, who was the Bears pick, has Hall of Fame talent. And I think I cried myself to sleep after that, Dan. I really did.
Cried laughing? Or?
I laughed so hard I cried. And I just couldn't figure out the defense, and I mean, they were up and down defending it, and I love the fact that the report came out today that they were bidding against nobody. That made it even more hilarious. It kind of reminded me when the Rangers signed A-Rod, and they, like, you know, just, you know, overpaid him to the max, and they were bidding against themselves. So, yeah, I just can't figure out if the Bears were that stupid, or if the 49ers were that smart.
Well, I mean, what did the 49ers get in return?
They swapped spots. The Bears moved up to number 2, so they swapped the third pick for the second pick. They gave up a third-round pick and a fourth-round pick this year and a third-round pick next year. And then oddly, these idiots I was listening to last night, they were talking about these picks that the Bears had given away, And they were like, well, you know, it's no big deal because the bear who the, you know, the guys the Bears have picked in this round have never turned out to be anything for them anyways. And all I kept thinking about is what kind of logic is that? And then whose fault is it for picking the guys that didn't turn out? you know, I was just like, really, you guys are the experts on this. I'm like, you couldn't find anybody else. And I mean, I know WGN isn't really a sports station anymore, but they do have, you know, some coverage here and there. And I was like, this is the best two Yahoos they could get out here. You know, I mean, what it was, you know, Ed Obradovich asleep or Dan Hampton unavailable. So, you know, so they were just hilarious. But, you know, while we're on that, Dan, we've seen this regime for 3 years now. They've had two number one picks before this. Why should we be confident that this is the guy that's going to work out? That and the fact that he's probably not going to play for 2 years because they just overpaid a free agent quarterback.
Well, he'll get to learn the system.
you know, that was kind of the other thing I'm thinking, you know, if it takes this guy 2 years to get on the field, what are the chances that John Fox and Ryan Pace are even going to be here to see this guy play? I mean, how many more losing seasons are the Bears ownership going to put up with? I mean, we've had two bad ones already. You looked over the schedule and came up with 4-12 as their best record. You know, there's no way they're playing 8-8 football, so we're looking at another losing season. You know, how many more are they going to be willing to go through, Dan, before we, you know, you got to make a change again? You know, I mean, how many are you putting up with?
Oh, I gave up. I think they should be gone already.
So, you know, and I, you know, it's just, you know, again, I can't figure out if the Bears now deserve the moniker of the stupidest team in football, or if just, you know, maybe we should be worshiping the 49ers as just that smart. So, yeah, I was just kind of like, really? You know, because, I mean, if you think about it, San Francisco moved back one spot, picked up three extra draft picks to take the guy at number three that they wanted at number two. And they got him, no problem. So it was just kind of like, okay, great. You know, like the funny part was like listening to the draft analysis on the Mickey Mouse Network, because when they made the move up, John Gruden thought it was the greatest thing in the world when they thought they were going to pick Solomon Thomas, the defensive lineman. You know, he was talking about how, you know, this guy is a, you know, he's an anchor to a defensive line. He'll help your pass rush. You know, he's a 10-year starter is what he described him as, more or less. And then they picked the quarterback, and I don't even know if anybody knew what to say. You know, it was just kind of like, wait, really? So, you know, just kind of weird. And I know, you know, like the Chiefs traded way up to get a quarterback, and they picked a guy whose father actually former major league player. I don't know if you remember Pat Mahomes. He was kind of a journeyman pitcher. His son Patrick was drafted 10th by the Chiefs. And while it's kind of an iffy pick, you got to remember the Chiefs have an established starting quarterback in Alex Smith that this guy can learn from. The Bears starting quarterback is scheduled to be a guy who never won the starting job in Tampa Bay. So, you know, it's a little bit of a different situation there. So, you know, and it was nice to see, you know, obviously Cleveland did the right thing and took Myles Garrett at number one. And then what was funny, Dan, is I heard two or three guys ripping them for not taking a quarterback. And it's like, really, what good does a quarterback do this team now? I mean, you know, even if you got a guy who turned out to be Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, would that make the Browns a playoff team next year, Dan?
No.
Yeah. You know, so you take the best player on the board, you know, you improve your pass rush, and you worry about the quarterback later.
Well, when I'm looking at, you know, Spotrac and Mike Lennon, Well, I guess there's a potential out 2018. But, I mean, he signed through 2019.
Yeah. So, you know, and I mean, you know, the Browns did some smart things. They, you know, what, you know, obviously, you know, Dan, what Cleveland needed was quality players. So they traded back in the 12th pick back to get a first round pick in next year's draft. They moved back to 25. They took Jabril Peppers from Michigan, who looks like he's going to play safety in the NFL. He's kind of a versatile guy. And then as the first round went on, they traded their second round pick, which I believe was 34, and a fourth round pick to jump back up to the 29th spot and take David. Oh God, it's NJOKU, however you want to pronounce it. He's just 20 years old, so he's got some growing to do, but this guy looks like he, you know, if he develops, he's going to be a world-class tight end. So, you know, to jump back up and get him at 29, you know, they made some real smart moves, and obviously, you know, they don't get a lot of credit for it because they're the Browns. But it was weird because if they would have taken a quarterback at number one, they would have gotten killed by the media. So they take the best player in the draft, and they're still getting killed by some of the media. I don't get it. So, yeah, you know, we'll see. But, you know, round two starts in about 20 minutes. The Packers actually have the first pick. So we'll see who they go. The Bears pick again at 36. So there's a chance Dan and I may still be on the air while the Bears are picking. So I'll, you know, we'll gladly let you know who you pick or, you know, who they pick. Or maybe they'll you know, give this pick away, too, to see what they can come up with. But, yeah, I don't know. Just goofy, so goofy. So now, oh, excuse me, did you even turn it on last night, or did you just stay away from it completely?
No. I stay away from it.
Yeah, I know the Bears pick was the last one I saw, and then after that I was just laughing too hard I had to turn it off. I couldn't watch it anymore. They did have some good reactions. I'm trying to remember, I think it was the NFL Network to start their draft coverage. They had a lot of reactions from the Bear fans, and the best one was the guy holding his crying baby while he was crying as well. I thought it was quite humorous. All Bears fans just freaking out. So, you know, it'll be interesting. But, yeah, you know, we're not going to know if this was a good pick or not for probably 2 years because he probably won't get on the field for 2 years.
Exactly.
So, you know, but all right, Dan, well, that's my first stupidity one of the day. My other two aren't that long. So where do you want to go next?
The shortest one.
Well, they're both genuine. You want basketball or you want baseball? I think baseball may be the shorter of the two. Cause I think, you know, this was more, well, you know, the basketball one is really, really funny. I know you're not a huge college guy, but one of the top draft picks that's going to come up in this draft is a kid. I got to find his first name here so I can get it right. But it's, you know, their last name is Ball. And there's three brothers. One right now is coming out of college from UCLA.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball. Lonzo Ball is the player. He's probably, I believe he's the second-rated prospect. So he's going to be one of the first guys taken. Now, his father is a goofball by the name of LeVar Ball, all right, who came up with this big baller brand and was saying he wanted $1 million shoe contract and he wanted to be business partners with the shoe company because he's developed the shoe he wants them to market. And today, good old LeVar, who, by the way, was a journeyman NBA player who thinks he was a lot better than he really was, today LeVar just cost his son quite a bit of money because Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas have basically told him to go scratch. They want nothing to do with him and his big baller brand or his shoe prototype that he has supposedly come up with. You know, Dan, I'm not a shoe guy. I know you, I believe you kind of used to be. Now you're a hat guy. What are the other options for him out here? I mean, you know, no, obviously Nike's huge. You know, Under Armour's up and coming and Adidas is still hanging around. Does Puma still exist?
Yeah, Converse. No, but I read the article, and I think that's what you're missing is he doesn't want to be that brand. He wants his own brand.
Yeah, it says here he insisted that they license his upstart big baller brand for him. So, you know, I mean, are we going to see Lonzo Ball Skechers? Is that where they're going to end up with this? You know, because, I mean, obviously this guy is a complete idiot. I mean, you know, there's no, you know, no doubt about it. I mean, he's going to cash in on his children because they are all very talented. So, you know, but I assume he'll be that parent when, you know, the kid goes on and, you know, says, my dad took all my money. He's going to be the dad who took all the money. You know, I won't be surprised by that at one bit if he steals every penny his kids make because, he thinks he deserves it because he was wronged in his NBA career or ever, whatever, and he probably thinks he should have been, you know, the next Michael Jordan, considering he's came out and said he could have beat Jordan one-on-one. That was another embarrassing thing. I mean, this guy just kind of likes to shoot his mouth off. He's just one of those guys. But, you know, Dan, I mean, how stupid is this guy? I mean, he cost his kid millions of dollars.
He'll think that he's going to be able to market his own shoes.
So, yeah, well, I mean, I guess now, I mean, this is kind of out there, but could he go to China or Asia or something? Maybe Allah, I believe it was Stefan Marbury, who put out a shoe over there when he hit it big in the Chinese basketball league. Could you think maybe he could get one of those shoe companies to make it for him?
That's a possibility. I mean, it'd be a lot cheaper.
You know, because obviously his son is going to have the money to do it here real soon. You know, he's gonna sign an NBA deal. You know, he's gonna have some money out there. I mean, I assume this will probably blow up in his face because I'm sure the majority of people think he's a complete moron, which sadly he always comes off like in interviews. He just, at first he was funny, you know, but his act is kind of worn thin and, you know, now he's just kind of stupid. So,
well, I mean,
you know, we'll have to,
he made after UCLA lost, you know, he blamed it on the slow white guys. I mean, I think, you know, he just, there's got to be a point where the kid has to be like, Dan, shut up. I mean, how long did it take Derrick Rose to tell his brother to shut up?
Yeah, well, you know, this will probably take about the same time. You know, it'll be one of those things where maybe the son has an advisor who can get to him and say, look, the best thing for you right now is to tell your dad to back off. Because, you know, obviously it's got to be a tough thing to do. And the other kids, Lonzo is the son who's going to be drafted this year. LiAngelo, it's L-I-Angelo. LiAngelo goes to UCLA this year. So I'm sure he'll be in next year's draft. And then LaMelo has two more years of high school left. So we'll be seeing these guys and you know, for quite a while. And I mean, I know the other story they told with this goof, Dan, is he went to an AAU team, which is what the kids do in the summertime now when you're a stud basketball player. And he wanted to sign all three of his kids up on for the same team with the with the add-on that he coaches it. And all the AAU teams ended up telling him to get lost, too. So it's not the first time this guy has had this go on to him. You know, he's just, he's definitely a guy who's going to ride his son's coattails, you know, just from one to the next to the next. So, we'll see how it goes. But all right, Dan, here's the last one. And this one to me was more, the start of it was funny, and then it got stupid with all the idiot sabermetric guys trying to defend it. You know how, I mean, I'm sure you've seen it where teams do those luncheons where a player or a coach shows up and they do a little Q&A and people pay, you know, $25-$50 to go to it?
Yeah.
Well, the Tigers had one with Brad Ausmus. And during it, somehow it came up on, like, how much information a pitcher or a catcher really wants about a hitter. And it was funny because, you know, sabermetrically, you know, these guys will talk about how, well, you know, with a 2-1 count, this guy likes to hit this and this, so you stay away from it here. And you can't, he can't eat salmon on Tuesdays because he'll go 0-for-8. And, you know, so on. And, they, you know, they've got all these different stats for it. And Ausmus looks at the guy and he goes, oh, you know, they really don't want that that much information. They just want it pretty simple. And they clicked back to the studio. And, of course, it was the great sabermetric analysis, Brian Kenny, with Keith Law from ESPN, who live on this sabermetric stuff. And them trying to cover up what Ausmus said and how in about two sentences he just shot down the entire sabermetric world without even trying was just hilarious, because they were both just kind of stammering over their words going, well, you know, maybe the Tigers are the team that doesn't want all this information, but, you know, there are a lot of pitchers out there who, you know, want to know, you know, blah, 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 and this and that. I'm like, no, there's not. I'm like, this guy just rubbed it in your face. So that was the best part of the whole thing. It was kind of like the David Ross pitch framing deal, where he explained all about pitch framing, where that had absolutely nothing to do with the actual pitch framing. So, but yeah, that, because I mean, just the stupidity between them two trying to explain themselves around Ausmus's comments. Who was Ausmus? Who, by the way, was one of the better defensive catchers when he played. was the best part of the whole thing.
Well, I mean, go back to the Alfonso Soriano days. You've got, you know, whether it's 1-2, whatever, 3-2 count, you don't need sabermetrics to tell you that you either throw a low slider or a high fastball, and he's going to swing about 97% of the time.
So that was one of the funnier parts to my day, just just listening to those two. And then, you know, Joe McGrain was sitting there, so they turned to McGrain and asked him. I guess they were hoping maybe he would back up their comments, and he agreed with Austin. He goes, "Oh yeah, no, I didn't need that much information." You know, he goes, "I was, you know, just more interested in, you know, trying to locate on the guy to make sure, you know, we were in the area where he doesn't hit the ball very well." And it was just, you know, it was like, oh, you're kidding me. I said, man, I should have been DVR'd in this, because this was just fantastic. You know, because, I mean, how do you question a manager who's had success and then a major league player who's sitting there at your desk? You know, and I believe McGrain won 17 or 18 games one year before he got hurt. You know, and you're going to tell these guys that they're wrong and this is the way they have to do it? So, needless to say, I took a victory lap around the living room.
You actually ran?
Yes, all the way around my living room, which isn't very big. So it wasn't that difficult. So, you know. But yeah, those were my three funny things. But while before we run out of time for people, Dan, I did get a Mr. Fantasy FanDuel lineup today. I was telling Dan earlier, I did two of the late night leagues, and I missed cashing by 2 points in each, which was really kind of annoying because I had some guys take some zeros. So basically, I needed like a hit or a double out of one of those guys, and I would have got my money back. But anyways, here's what Mr. Fantasy is going with tonight while you got some time to get your lineup in. He likes Chase Anderson of the Brewers pitching tonight. He's pitching against Atlanta. He's at $8,600. His catcher tonight is Jason Castro of the Twins for $2,500. We're going back to the Brewers for his first baseman. He's going with Eric Thames. That'll cost you $4,500. Devin Travis of the Blue Jays is his second baseman at $2,200. Chase Headley of the Yankees is his third baseman at $3,500. Back to the Brewers one more time for him. At shortstop, it's Orlando Arcia, who will cost you $2,500. And then his outfield is A.J. Pollock of the Diamondbacks. That'll cost you $4,200. Charlie Blackman of the Rockies, that'll cost you $3,900. And Dexter Fowler of the Cardinals, that'll cost you $3,100. So again, real quick, his pitcher is Anderson of the Brewers. Then his catcher is Castro of the Twins. First base is Thames of the Brewers. Second is Travis of the Blue Jays. Third is Headley of the Yankees. Short is Arcia of the Brewers. His outfield is Pollock of the Diamondbacks, Blackman of the Rockies, and Fowler of the Cardinals. So there you go. This, of course, is for the 705 main league. It's actually 605 where Dan and I are. So if you're doing your lineup now, you got about 8 minutes to get your lineup in. So good luck with that. Hopefully you win, and we'll see how it goes. There are some other, options out there if you want to try to build your lineup. I know Max Scherzer is pitching against the Mets tonight. They're really struggling. They just put Cespedes on the DL. And Dan knows how that Met lineup goes when Cespedes isn't in it. Obviously Scherzer's a little more expensive. Let me look up his number here. He's $11,600. But if you want to try to build a lineup around him, maybe that's something that could work out for you. I don't know. So.
Yeah, I just tweeted mine to just totally opposite Mr. Fan. Trying to go with what I thought was that CC starting, and then Bambi from Milwaukee, Freeman, Castro, Gurriel, Bogarts. I took a swing on this one, and I hope it worked out. But Ryan Braun, Adam Duvall, and Marcelo Zuna.
I can tell you everybody was in Mr. Fantasy's starting lineup except for Pollock, because the Diamondbacks lineup hasn't been released yet. So, they're playing the later game. Yeah, I'm looking at Dan's lineup right now, so, You picked both of my guys, Starlin Castro and Gurriel. So.
Yeah, I figured I'd give Gurriel a try. I thought it was a good match.
He was my guy in the fantasy drafts this year, and apparently we have to get rid of him because Mr. Fantasy's hot for Joey Gallo. So.
The Joey Gallo.
Yes, the Texas Ranger Joey Gallo. So we will see how that works out for me. Normally, those trades never go my way, but yeah, the deal would have to be there's a team looking for a closer, so we would have to trade either Tony Watson or Raciel Iglesias for Joey Gallo. I don't like the trade. I wouldn't want to give up either guy for just Gallo alone. So when we were trading, Mr. Fantasy and I were trading Texas before the podcast, I said, is there something else to sweeten this deal? And then he, of course, dropped it on me and said, I've got to go look at this other guy's team to see what kind of you know, what kind of deal, what other kind of deal we could get or something like that. So while we're here and we have some time to do it, I'm going to gonna pull up this team, Dan, and you and I can take a look at it and see see what we got. And see if there's anything that would you know, anything that would help us, anything that would help us out. You know, and oddly, he's all of a sudden really hot for making this trade, and we were one of the better scoring teams in the league last week. So our team is finally kind of starting to come together. And, you know, if the Dodgers decide to continue to use Urias, or Urias, you know, we could really be on something. Oh, all right. Well, here we go, Dan. This is the team that has Mike Trout, actually. So, but I don't think they're giving him up. Here's his starting lineup. We're looking at Evan Gattis, Hanley Ramirez, Starling Castro, Jose Ramirez, Xander Bogaerts, Nomar Mazara, Andrew McCutchen, Mike Trout, and Albert Pujols. His bench is Martin Maldonado, Brandon Drury, Yunel Escobar, Joey Gallo, Jose Iglesias. He has David Dahl on the DL, and then he also has Starling Marte. Let's see, pitching-wise, he has Miguel Gonzalez of the White Sox, Michael Pineda, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jameson Taillon, Aaron Sanchez of the Blue Jays, who's on the DL, and Stephen Wright are his starters. His relievers are Joaquin Benoit, Greg Holland, A.J. Ramos, and Carter Capps. I don't know why he wants a closer when he's got two.
Just trying to secure that lot.
Yeah, I guess. Maybe. But, I mean, Holland's been performing really well. You know, and I don't know, maybe is Ramos struggling? I mean, I don't have him on any team, so maybe that's the problem. Yeah, it looks like he might work very much this year. So maybe that's the problem there. But yeah, I mean, there, you know, I mean, you know, I like Starling Marte, but is it worth, I don't think it would be worth holding on to him, wouldn't it?
I don't think so. That's a long time.
Oh. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm sure he's not going to give up any of his starters. You know, and you know, like looking at his bench, I mean, I like Brandon Drury, but he just got hurt. You know, I don't really know what's wrong with him. So I am disappointed that Gallo is only a one-position guy when I know he played quite a bit of outfield last year, too. So I don't know how that's been with our team, who I believe we have multiple third base at this point. Yeah, we have Ryan Healy of the A's, who's been actually hitting really well, and then Gurriel of the Astros, who qualifies at third. So, you know how I always joke with you, Dan, when I tell you, you know, we always get rid of my guys on when we make cuts and stuff in this league?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, Mr. Fantasy made a pick. One of his, I believe it was our last pick. He took Anuri Tavares of the Baltimore Orioles. And he hasn't scored a point all year. I don't even know if he's actually on their roster still. We're still hanging on to him. But, yeah, we've cut a couple of my guys already. So. You know, it's just one of those fun things that I get to do. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure if we can work out a trade with them. I don't know if I don't think one for one is fair. And I don't know if, you know, if they could sweeten the deal enough to, you know, to make it worthwhile. I mean, what do you think?
Castro?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's, you know, obviously he would be a, You know, obviously I would love that. You know, I mean, he's my guy. I would want that right away. You know, I just don't know if that would be a move they would be willing to, you know, they would be willing to make. So, you know, we'll have to, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see if he, if he's willing to, come up with something else. But yeah, I don't, you know, I don't know, but yeah, I'm sure it'll be, you know, it'll be my fault somehow if, you know, whatever happens. But all right, well, what do you think, Dan? We got game six tonight. They're back here in Chicago. There's actually three game sixes tonight. Are the Bulls done?
The Bulls are done.
Yeah, you think it's gonna end tonight? Will it be close at least?
Well, I'm sure it'll be close, but
the games really haven't been that close.
Does it make it any better or worse? If you lose, you lose.
Oh no!
Like 2 points, 10 points.
Yeah, but wouldn't it be more enjoyable for us to watch if they played a close game?
Kind of give you hope. I mean, is Rondo playing?
No, he's officially out.
Yeah.
And
well,
something changes between now and game time, so, you know.
They've ran their course.
Yeah.
They got the, quote, playoff experience. I mean, that was something I was talking to my boss the other day. He's like, you know, I was actually watching the Bulls game, and who the hell Harry off the guys? I'm like, I don't know. You know, guys I've never even heard of just magically showed up on his team. I mean, I get the deal they made trying to move Hodgkinson because of the contract, Dougie McBuckets because they weren't really using him. But, I mean, they got Payne in return, who just sucks. Sorry, I know he's in the NBA,
yeah,
but he sucks. You know, I don't know about the other guy. I forgot who the big guy was. He's decent, but I mean, then again, Oklahoma's not in the playoffs anymore either. So it's not like either team really benefited from the moves that were made.
Yeah, you know, I think in the end, when we look at that trade, it's probably going to turn out better for the Thunder. I think they got better talent. But, yeah, you know, like you said, it didn't help, though. I mean, I get it. The Western Conference is a lot tougher than the East. You know, if Oklahoma City was in the East, they may have actually advanced a round or two rounds. You know, you never know. But, you know, they ran into a really good Houston team. So, you know, I'm trying to think, what are the other series we got going tonight? I know Utah has a chance to beat the Clippers. Do you you see that happening, or you think we get a seven gamer out of that tonight?
No, I'm going to roll the dice and say the Clippers win. I mean, the Jazz. Karl Malone.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is a big roll. I know most people think the Clippers are going to push that to seven tonight. And I know there's one more series. I'm trying to think who's left. I think it's Milwaukee and Toronto. You know, I really thought Milwaukee was going to kind of pull the upset off there, but Toronto's got a chance to knock them out tonight. You think the Raptors close that out?
I think the Raptors close it out.
So, yeah, you know, I like Milwaukee. They're kind of a good young up-and-coming team, but, you know, they started off kind of like the Bulls. They started off really well, and then it just went all downhill.
I just wish Jabari Parker, we could kind of see what he's made of.
Yeah.
You wonder if that would make
it starting to seem
team.
Like, it's starting to seem like Teflon, isn't it, with all the injuries?
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how that works out, and if we, you know, we get some eliminations tonight, you know, then, you know, if they all end tonight, we're done. We'll actually be done with the first round, Dan, before May. If not, we got to go till Sunday. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything's scheduled to roll out the finals. I think it's June 2nd or 6th. They have the date already set, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, it's just, God, it's such a long season with all these off days and, you know, everything that goes on with this. It's just like, oh, geez. It's like, come on. You know, I think they should play back-to-back, take a day off, play back-to-back, and, you know, let's get this damn thing moving. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like Cleveland's traveling all the way to California.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, you know, that's the one thing I just don't, you know, don't really kind of understand with it. It's like, let's. You know, and again, I know it's modeled for television. You know, it's one of those things you have to deal with. But, God, I know you and I have talked about this before. I mean, by the time the finals roll around, I don't care who's in them or who wins them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's June. I'm thinking about what's going on with baseball. And, you know, by then, hell, it's almost time to start getting ready for fantasy football. I got the email from Yahoo yesterday that our leagues are open and ready to be set up, you know, and it's
yeah.
Like, come on, it's, you know, it's April and you want me to set up the fantasy football league?
Yeah, I got the Johnny Fantasy come back or, you know, something like that. I forgot
yeah.
what the actual email was. I just kind of laughed at it. But yeah, I mean, you've got to wonder, you know, we've talked about it before with the finals. Is it because that's the end? You know, now every single teenager, you know, preteen is out of school and they can stay up late and watch the final?
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Yeah. Does it, I mean, I don't know, does it help? I mean, are there a lot of kids watching it? I don't even know.
If they are, they're streaming it for free on YouTube or...
Yeah,
like,
you know, you know, I mean, I guess if they were watching it, you know, the Mickey Mouse Network wouldn't have just, you know, laid off 100 people, right? So.
Yeah, that's true. Which, you know, it's funny because they were talking about it with Peter Gammons this morning. Or maybe it wasn't him. I don't know who they're. And, you know, guys, not this was the Chicago morning show, not Mike and Mike. And they were even surprised by some of the names that the mothership laid off.
Yeah, you know, it was a...
Jason Stark.
Quite the... Yeah, you know, what I noticed is they really cut into baseball and hockey. You know, and I know, like, hockey, it was the majority. It was a lot of their online people who wrote columns online and stuff like that. But, yeah, I was shocked that, you know, like, Starks went, you mentioned, Dallas Braden, Doug Glanville, Raul Ibanez. You know, I think there might have even been one or two more that baseball contributors. Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the names on the list I saw.
Well, and no offense, but in today's world, I hate to say it, but his look was just killing him.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was one of the newer guys. That's why I was a little kind of surprised by his name popping up. But
yeah, but
you know,
it's kind of like the Yankees. You know, he really did not fit their MO.
No.
With
yeah.
the bald, you know, going bald is one thing, but then the long hair, you know, at least Willie Robertson and Hulk Hogan wear, you know, bandanas. And then not to mention the big beard, he looked scruffy, he looked scrabby, he looked like homeless guy.
Yeah, it was a bit of an odd look when it came to, you know, you know, came to a guy who was on national television like that. It was just like, okay, or national cable television, excuse me. So, but yeah, they, you know, like I said, they really, you know, really seemed to, you know, go after baseball. And it was just kind of like, wow, you know, there's just, you know, I know, you know, a couple of the bigger, you know, named football guys, you know, they got with Ed Werder, who's one of their better reporters, you know, and then Trent Dilfer went. Oh, the other baseball guy I couldn't think of was Jim Bowden, the former general manager who did some reporting for them. But yeah, it was just one of those things they kind of had to do. You know, they pretty much backed themselves in the corner with that, you know, the money they're paying out. So, you know, just kind of how it worked out, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess, you know, they were saying their viewership is down, you know, their subscribers are down, and you know, you and I both talked about all the money they paid for that NBA contract, and you know, who knows, maybe that in the end that's what's going to get them. So, and you know, I know we talked a little bit of baseball, but how are you looking forward to this Cubs-Red Sox series? You know, we kick off tonight. Actually, they should just about be getting ready to throw the first ball. They got it already. Cubs are up 1-0 already after the top of the first. It's Jake Arrieta against Drew Pomerantz. You know, I mean, this is a lot of talk. You know, obviously Theo's name has came up quite a bit. How are you looking at this series as a Cub fan?
Just another series. I think it's a fun series.
See, you got to be more excited than just, you know, it was Chris. The Cubs scored on a Chris Bryant home run, by the way. So.
Oh, good. I have him in my lineup. I mean, it's exciting. I think people are putting too much into it. I heard some even say it's a preview to the World Series, which I am.
Yes, of course. Oh. What else would it be, right? So, now, you know, I did hear today some talk. There's a lot of guys believing that Javier Baez needs a short stint in Iowa. How do you feel about that?
What does it come down to? Is hitting? Or?
Well, you know, they're talking about his hitting. Obviously, his defense is, you know, stellar. But, yeah, they're complaining quite a bit about his hitting. Let me hunt down his numbers for you here real quick. Where is Javi? There's Javi. 18 games. He's had 56 at bats. One homer, 5 RBIs. He's hitting .214. He struck out 20 times.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. He hasn't been the strongest hitter.
You know, and now oddly, are they picking on Javi a little, because he's actually hitting 1 point better than Schwarber, who struck out 28 times, and he's hitting 10 points better than, or almost, well, 7 points better than Ben Zobrist, and Zobrist has struck out only 6 less times. So why are they kind of singling Javi out?
Because he's easy.
Yeah, is that why? Does it bode back to the? You know, the Javi who struck out a bazillion times?
Yeah. I mean, but, again, there's no, you know, I think part of it is Joe Madden's lineup, which no one's ever going to admit to. You know, I don't buy it. Kyle Schwarber shouldn't be leading off.
No.
And it's proven that.
No, we all know. Yeah, I believe all of that. yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I guess, you know, my question would be, would the would it even help him? You know what, you send him down for what, a week? You know, because obviously he's too good to be playing in AAA. What's he going to do? He's going to go down there and tear up pitching for a week, and then you're going to bring him back to hope it did what? I don't understand. I mean, we seem to be panicking, you know, what are they, 21 or two games into the season, 23 maybe? You know, we still got 140 games to go. I mean, if he sucks by the all, still sucks at the All-Star break, well, you know, let's talk about it then. But I don't get what the trip would help. Do you?
No, and, you know, the inconsistent lineups, the everyday changing.
Yeah.
You know, how can you become a consistent hitter when you don't know if you're going to play? You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, Dobrus helped the World Series, and then he got that MVP. But I told you, we talked about it when that deal was first signed. It was too much for too long.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, to be fair, I mean, with that deal, you know, he's holding up guys. You know, Ian Happ probably should have made the team out of spring training. But since you have Ben Zobrist here, there's nowhere for that guy to go. So he's got to go back to the minors. You know, and, you know, I know you mentioned, you know, the inconsistent playing. I wonder how long before this affects Alberto Almora. You know, the object was to find out if this kid was a major league center fielder. He hasn't played enough for anybody to know. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, great. You know, either you get Jason Hayward in center with Zobrist and Wright, or you get John Jay out there. You know, I just don't understand why Almora's not playing every day. You know, this is one of those questions you need answered. This is the time to figure it out. You know, I mean, you can't be going down the stretch not knowing if this kid can be your everyday center fielder. And, you know, that's all on Joe Maddon. He's got control of the lineup card. You know, that's nobody else but him.
Well, and that was another thing. That was a pointless signing, John Jay. You didn't need it.
Yeah. So,
what for?
Yeah, you know, and it turns out they're not really using him for what I thought they were going to use him. I figured he would be the late inning defensive replacement for Kyle Schwarber. You know, because obviously in a tight game, you don't really want Schwarber out there in left field. You want his bat out there. You know, like tonight he's DH and it's perfect. They're in Boston. You know. But, yeah, they, you know, they haven't even really done that. So, yeah, I don't understand what the hell Jay was brought in for. You know, again, it's just kind of baffling. But let me throw the rest of the schedule at you here, Dan. We got the Orioles at the Yankees, the Mets at the Nationals, the Rays at the Blue Jays. We've been talking about the Cubs at the Red Sox. The Mariners are at the Indians. The White Sox are at the Tigers. The Pirates are at the Marlins. The Angels are at the Rangers. The Braves are at the Brewers. The A's are at the Astros. The Twins are at the Royals. The Reds are at the Cardinals. The Rockies are at the Diamondbacks. The Phillies are at the Dodgers. And the Padres are at the Giants. And do you believe that the Rockies and the Diamondbacks are the top two teams in the AL West right now? And they both actually look pretty good.
AL West, that is pretty crazy.
You know, I mean, you know, the Rockies actually have struggled of late. You know, the Nationals went in there and really roughed them up. They ended up dropping three in a row to them. But even with those three games, they're still 14-9, just a half game behind Arizona, who's got 15 wins. The Dodgers are a game under 500, and the Giants just can't seem to figure it out, Dan. You know, I really like Giants going into this year. I mean, I love that starting pitching staff. I thought they were going to be it. So, Dan, I got to ask you, did I kill them? Is it just my jinx that's killing the Giants?
I think so. You jinxed them.
So, you know, I do have that effect. Normally, I only have that effect on players. You know, like if you remember last year, my two MVP picks both got hurt. So, you know, that didn't work out. I don't believe I've lost one of them yet. I don't remember off the top of my head who I picked. So I think I'm okay there. But, yeah, I was – you know, overtly high on the Giants pitching staff. You know, obviously Bumgarner's a stud. You know, I think I picked Cueto to win the National League Cy Young. I really liked him. And then I thought matchup-wise with Moore at 3 and Samardzija at 4, they would really have a big advantage there. And, you know, at the end, I'm just starting to think I'm the idiot is what I'm really starting to think here.
Well, you didn't pick them to win the World Series like Mr. Fantasy did, so.
Well, luckily, I didn't quite go that far. I believe I picked the Chicago White Sox to win the World Series. Oh, no, I did not. So, but, yeah, and then, you know, the other team, I'm really starting to have some concerns on. And, again, you know, we're only 20 games in, but they're starting to look more like a MASH unit than a baseball team. And, you know, that's the Mets. Jonas now goes on the DL. Boy, you know what I mean? You know, you and I both know he carries this team offensively. You know, when he's not around, this team is bad. You know, even if it's 10 days, Dan, or it's, maybe it's 15, but, you know, you add him to a list. You know, your guy Lucas Dude is on the DL. Wilmer Flores is on it. David Wright's on the 60-day DL. They're talking about him not playing again this year. A couple pitchers, that's nothing new for the Mets. Seth Lugo and Steven Matz, there's always a Met pitcher on the DL. I just, you know, can they survive literally 2 weeks without Cespedes? Or, you know, is it going to be one of those things where we're going to look up and the Mets are on a 10-game losing streak because Jonas isn't there?
I think their chances in the East are very slim. I think Atlanta's going to catch him. Or Washington.
Yeah, well, you know, and especially, you know, yeah, you know, the way Washington is playing, and I mean, I know it's really early, but, we're looking at, you know, the Nationals are 10 games over 500. They're playing fantastic. The Mets are 5 games under, and Washington doesn't have a boatload of injuries. like the Mets do. And, I mean, I just worry, you know, offensively for the Mets. You know, Cespedes just, he's the key to that entire lineup. You know, he not only makes the guys who hit in front of him better, he makes the guys behind him better because you don't want anything to do with Jonas in that lineup. And, you know, Jay Bruce had gotten off to a good start because Jonas is there. And I just, you know, Dan, I just don't, I honestly don't know, you know, even if it's just, if this team survives it, and I know it's early in the year to say that, but man, it's ugly.
Hey, you want to make a trade for Jay Bruce?
So, yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, so. Oh, and just so you know, before we go off the air here, Dan, the Bears have traded that 36 pick to the Arizona Cardinals. So while we were talking about that earlier, I was joking about them trading it, and they did. So, all right, Dan and I are taking off. Dan's going to go enjoy his weekend. I'll be back Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for 2 hours with Mr. Fantasy. That's my punishment, I guess. But you know the deal while we're gone. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Look for that new blog tomorrow morning. Get over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Of course, jump on and follow the Twitter feed at Sports Time Radio. You can find Dan and I out there on Twitter as well if you'd like that. As always, a big thanks for listening live. And don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.